You want to say something, Michael?
Yeah. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hey, we haven't talked in a long while. You've been talking to somebody, Ginny, I think. She actually met you.
Yeah, yeah.
She met with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I put on my computer about 5 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago a lot of what you were saying about Ion, and Sarah and Abraham being alive.
Yes.
And the interesting thing about that is if there's no time, then there's no concept of transition for ascended beings. So they can be in the same parentheses of their existence as you were when you were 6 years old and smiling in the same way that you're smiling at your age.
Right. Well, that's what Ion does. He makes practical eternity, which is no time. The principle of no time is what Ion is explaining.
So as you were talking to Katie about that, that came to mind, and that was so brilliant. It was so clear. So thank you.
Okay, what? That Ion does that? That's what came to mind?
Yeah, like you were talking to Katie, and as you were describing that author that she was talking about, and you were saying that I'm going to say his name was Henry or whatever, that he
William Henry.
William Henry, yeah, that he was like in that perspective. Then that whole Ion thing that I just enunciated to you came to light.
Right, he doesn't have a clear percept of eternity and non-time.
Yeah. So it's pretty amazing how you can look at exactly where you are in a current situation, apply it to people who are writing about it, but you're able to
shrink it,
interpret it
diminish
from the Ion. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we can destroy everybody's arguments from Ion's information level.
Yeah, but the interesting thing about Ion is I know they
pretending to say he. Yeah. Remember, they're they.
Yeah, I'm going by the voice. I know that you know it's they are out there and they're disassociated with the radio program to a certain degree, but.
No, they haven't. They haven't. They're here. They're here every week. They're
okay.
Just Ion, for good reasons, isn't entering social mortar this past year, and it's part of this Trump frequency change.
Okay, there isn't a day that I can't. There isn't a day that I do not experience Ion as being a direct connection to events that are happening to me, or happenstances, or my thought process. And it's so incredible. And I'm going on like 5 years of drops. So.
Right. But I would say that that's always the case with everybody because you are made up of three parts. Your non-physical is always interacting with you. What we present seems to make you notice it more or recall it more.
Okay. The thing that when a little while ago, I had to get my charger from my cell phone, and it was in my car. So I walked out, and you were talking about the Henry guy. And then as I was walking to my car, I was thinking about the practicality and applicability of Michael Brown and how the presence process set the stage for my personal and a few other people's journey and acceptance and absorption of Ion. As well as,
yeah.
You know, you and Carolyn's capacities. And that was pretty interesting. And
how the presence, you're saying it's interesting how Michael Brown somehow anticipates Ion.
No, Michael Brown set the stage to fully inculcate with Ion, as well as you and Carolyn and Ginny.
Right, well, he actually would disagree with that. He thinks his stuff was way off. But for little people, it is their subjectivity, what they project in his books, is relevant.
Well, see, the reason why Michael Brown, I would think this is, he went through so many workshops, so many, lectures, that it just became a caricature of who he was. But for people who didn't have that perspective, it was eye-opening. And then when he switched to drops, and, there have been people who have asked me about, how I came on to drops when I said the Michael Brown thing about drops compared to ayahuasca. And
right.
So, or why I recommend drops. And when they read that, they just are so compelled to get into drops. And once they have, 10 drops, they're, disciples. So it's pretty amazing.
So once they have 10 drops, you mean daily 10
drops?
They're
a disciple of the drops. And it doesn't matter if they're lacking physically, mentally, or spiritually. It just turns into like the best capacity.
Right, you have customers or you have friends that you've turned on drops who are appreciating it.
Oh, I would say at least 40 to 50 people.
Well, that's pretty
neat. And everyone, what's that?
Wow.
That's
and everyone,
good.
Yeah, everyone who has
good.
Done them, they've told other people it's like mushrooms. The latest person is Kathy Gill, and she has everyone she meets is like amazed at how her life has changed since September on drops. And
who's Kathy? Who's this person?
She's a friend of mine who I
okay,
grew up
we're
with.
Not supposed to know who she is. She's not a celebrity or anything.
Yeah. Nah.
Yeah, okay.
And
but a friend of yours, you've turned on a lot of your friends. Well, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, she tells everyone from her chiropractor to her dentist to all of her friends, and she insists that they get it. This girl is capable. I'm sorry for getting into the physical aspect, but she was incapable.
You should not apologize for the physical. That's the more important thing.
I think that the spiritual and emotional is more important. But for me,
no.
All right.
Anyways, go ahead.
All right. So she went on the drops probably late August in September. All right, and then she goes for a bike ride, and she bike rides on the Jersey coast, Island Beach State Park, for 12 miles. She rides back to her house, and she's bracing to get off a bike, because, for the 100 times before that, she couldn't walk to her house. She gets off the bike, and she walks up into her house, up the steps to her house, like she's never even had a ride. And then driving to New York City, her back, just stopped aching her. She no longer had cramps. This is within 2 days. The cramps
right.
in her feet left, drops in Remag. The cramps in her feet left, her calves. She started sleeping better, the whole routine. The most amazing thing for Kathy was not only is she stronger, more focused, and happier, she had a crazy itchy skin on her hands and wrist for 15 years. And she did the Remag lotion, and it ended that day.
Wow.
And if she doesn't do Remag, so I texted Kathy during the week, and I said, Kathy, there was a email from Dr. Carolyn Dean that talked about Remag and muscle cramps and AFib and everything.
Yeah.
And I told her she should check it out. Well, she gets back to me today, and she goes, it sounds as if I was writing her story in the first part of that email.
Right.
The person who did the testimonial was in accord with the exact outcome that Kathy had from the drops.
But she hasn't done the Remag.
Oh, yeah, she does the Remag. She does the drops.
Oh,
okay. She ordered the Recalcia, and she has the Renew. And so it's great.
It's great.
Is she a 50 or 40, 30 or 60-year-old?
I think she's mid-50s.
What? Yeah. Mid-50s? Mid-50s.
Yeah. Yeah. And she
now
has...
Now, you've had other... Have you... Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. No, I'm sad. Yeah, I've had at least...
You've had other friends who've had the same experience as Kathy.
Better. Lisa's from Soulful Awakening Yoga Group. She had toe fungus for 15 years. And her doctor said, don't do the medicine. And she went on drops April of 15. And by September, by Labor Day of 15, 5 months later, her toe fungus was gone. She completely forgot about it. And one day I'm like, oh, yeah, you're still doing drops. She rips off her socks. And she goes, yeah, my toe fungus is gone. My neighbor, Jack, he had three leaky valves in November of 15, right before Thanksgiving. And I told him I was ordering drops in Remax, so I got him a bottle of each. And by Valentine's Day, his three heart valves repaired themselves. And his posture from a bad back, from being a carpenter and, you know, deck builder, completely reversed.
Wow.
It was like, and let's see, other people, my friend.
Hey,
Michael. Yeah.
Hey, you make a list of all the names, the 40 people, as many as you get, and make a one-sentence thing about them, and we'll post that as a testimonial. That's really good.
Yeah, the most incredible one was that my friend Allie, for a whole year, every 3 months, she would have a pap smear, and it showed precancerous cells, and she went on drops in September of 17. And by December of 17, she had a pap smear, and her cells were normal. And that was like almost less than 3 months.
So you've told a lot of this to Ginny, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Ginny
definitely
knows what you're doing. No, we need to record what you've done. It's pretty great. All you have to do is just make a straight statement, you know, sentence of each person, and just try to list as many as you can remember.
Mm-hmm. The most incredible thing for me.
Post.
All right, so with Kathy Gill, this is the most incredible Ionic moment that I've ever experienced. And on... I'm going to say October 10th. I go to a yoga studio to listen to Bowles in Jersey, singing Bowles, Crystal Bowles. And then I stop by to see my friend Glenn, and he tells me, he insists that I put a app on my Droid. So I put an app on my Droid. He brings out a bottle of wine. He says, point the app at the bottle of wine, and the bottle of wine starts speaking from VR, virtual reality. It's probably Erasmo or something like that. And virtual reality is just a visual tagging rather than like a textual tagging. So if you had a picture of the I spoke to Ginny about this when I saw her back in November. If you point your phone at the drops, you can have like a whole bunch of testimonials roll out, or if you do Remag or something like that, and it's really easy to do because it's a tagging system from a graphical tagging system rather than a textual.
Are you saying
or
that
numeric.
This the image goes on the net and finds statements about Ion and just says them?
Oh yeah, I could do that like in my sleep. That's like so easy to do. Something
you're not
like that.
Saying that a bottle is talking. You're saying there's an app make it appear the Bible bottle is talking because it's quoting stuff that they get off the internet.
Yeah. So for instance, when I worked for the Navy, I was programming communication systems for aircraft carriers. And
hey,
one
fix
of
your,
the side
fix
things.
Your, mic. Fix your mic. Why are you put some drops on your fucking phone? Why
all
are
right.
you blurry?
Is it better?
Not that much.
Is it better?
Not really.
Okay, hold on.
That, right there. Now? Right there was good. When you said, okay, hold on, that was clear.
Okay, what about now?
That's better. Okay.
Okay, it fell down. It's all right. So I was working for the Navy. I was building communication systems and simulators for aircraft carriers and stuff like that. But one of the coolest things I did was we took a picture of a Quonset hut outside the CVN-78, which is a Gerald Ford aircraft carrier. And if you took your phone and pointed to that Quonset hut, it would go through the 7 or 8 minute video that Huntington Ingalls did about the construction of the aircraft carrier from the first laying of a plate of steel to joining the three giant hull sections to, you know, welding, you know, 2 billion grommets or whatever, putting in the software. And then after that, we did the Sword Dancer, which was a Sword Warrior, which is a little, like Roomba vacuum cleaner with shotguns and machine guns and mortars and all, and bazookas. So, you know, so I did all that programming, and Glenn made me put an app on my phone on December 10th, and that's a Tuesday. And then Kathy comes over to my house to have pizza and to watch video, and she walks in to the house with a bottle of wine. I take my phone, point it at the bottle of wine, and the bottle of wine starts talking. Sift her out, sift me out. Out of the millions of bottles of wine, she brought to my house 19 crimes. And 19 crimes is the virtual reality wine. And, you know, it was like so, that was the most ionic, well, actually, that was one of the most ionic things that happened recently.
Well, how's that ionic? You took the app, you aim at the bottle, and the bottle takes stuff off the internet and says stuff. Or did you say something else?
Yeah, but it's ionic because Kathy is on drops, right? Glenn has been on drops, and he made me put the app on my phone for exclusively to 19 crimes, and then Kathy, out of the millions of bottles of wine that she could have picked up, walks into the loft with 19 crimes. So
okay, I'm missing that. What is this 19 crimes?
It's a bottle of wine, and then if you – all right, it's a bottle of wine, and if you do red, there's some Australian guy who talks about, you know, being punished for being, you know, against the crown in England, and that's how he ended up in Australia. And the 19 crimes are any of the things that would get you booted from England into the penal colony of Australia. And that's why they named it 19 Crimes. So Glenn told me to put the app on my phone. I put it on, and then Kathy brings in a bottle of wine. Like that.
Well, what's your app got to do? Were you given an app that only did prime wines?
Yeah. The app was exclusively for 19 Crimes. And then Kathy brought in 3 days later with 19 Crimes. That was,
and she could have brought a 100 other wine bottles, but she brought that.
No,
out.
She could have bought 800 million of the bottles of wine, and she popped in with that.
Right. Okay. Right. And she brought that one, the one that your app decodes.
No, the one that Glenn, who was on drops, made me put on my phone. Who Kathy was on drops, brought it in, and it was like so in alignment and congruent with.
Right.
And then,
you're saying before Kathy was on drops. Did you say that sentence?
No, she was on drops since September, and she comes in October with that wine.
Right. And what did you say about Brian? You linked that with Brian's timing.
No, Glenn. Glenn was on drops, and he forced me, like, put this app on your phone. And then 4
time
days later.
You're saying in time for Kathy.
Yeah, preceding Kathy.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. And then the other interesting thing was I'm living in Charlotte now, and I'm to learn new technology for like trading floor. It's called congruence, and it's how if you change a value in Hawaii, it will be changed in Hong Kong, London, New York, and Japan, and China, like within a millisecond. It's called Java.
You said change of value. It, what's that?
Like for a trading floor, right? If you have a New Capstone is a publicly traded company, and someone bids 101, right? And then someone wants to buy it at 102, and they do a proposal for one, whatever you would call it, Bert would know. And then all of the JVMs around the world, within a split second, almost instantaneously, would have 102 as the last offering price. So I'm learning that technology in Charlotte. So before Christmas, I go to Macy's, and I pick up some gifts for my family and friends. And then I saw this, like, really urban coat, this, like, coat that James Brown would wear. And I was like, oh, man, I should take a picture of me in it and send it to my boys and saying, yeah, not only am I doing tech, but I'm also turning into a pimp in Charlotte. So I didn't take the picture. And then the next weekend, I had to go to a Banana Republic in the same mall to get something for my daughter, because the other Banana Republic didn't have her size. So I go there and I walk into Macy's. I see this other jacket that's like James Brown worthy. I take a picture. I smuggle it into the men's dressing room. I take a picture of me, several pictures of me in it, and I send it to my friends. And then 3 hours later, I'm at a restaurant, and I'm waiting to get seated in the bar, the band setting up in the bar, and I start talking to some girl. And she's like, oh, what'd you do today? And I start laughing, and I go, I went and took a picture of myself in a James Brown type of jacket that he was performing. She goes, let me see the picture. I show her the picture, and she goes, holy shit, I'm wearing the same skirt. It's like, she's wearing the same matching skirt. So
right, she's wearing the same skirt, which you can't see. It's under her jacket.
Yeah, I couldn't see because she was sitting down. But I had taken a picture about 3 hours earlier, and it's one of those sequin patterns that if you touch, you know, you either change it white or change it black or gray or black. So it was like, so this is even crazier. So I go back to Jersey for Christmas. It's the 23rd of Christmas. I'm at the yoga studio, Soulful Awakenings in Belmar, which a lot of people are taking drops, by the way. And I'm relaying the exact same story I'm telling you about, you know, taking a James Brown jacket into the men's dressing room, taking pictures, sending it to my brother and my friend.
The skirt story.
Yeah. I mentioned the skirt, and then this girl, Donna, says, let me see the picture. I open my phone, I show myself in this jacket, and Josh goes, holy shit, I have the same jacket. He's a rocker. He uses that jacket on stage. Well, my brother was saying, he goes, that jacket was ghetto, which it was. And then I call my brother back, and I go, yeah, Bob, that jacket, in addition to being ghetto, is gay, because Josh is gay and he's a performer. So,
well, I missed that. You're so blurry. Is gay Christian Istoff? What did you say?
No, Josh is a gay musical performer.
It's not ghetto, it's
also gay.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
okay, well, the girl who had the skirt, she then stands back and shows you her skirt. It's some pattern that's not only in a jacket, it's also on skirts?
Yeah. It's like, it's a sequin thing, but it was the exact same colors, the exact same size, and the exact same pattern, which is like the craziest thing. And then, you know, I showed it at the yoga studio, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, you should get that. And then Josh goes, oh, yeah, I have that. I wore it last Saturday when he performed in New Hope, PA.
It's in the stores. It's in the stores right now.
It was in Macy's.
Yeah, well, people are buying it. It's not that odd. But what do you say Ion would say to that story? If you just told Ion, what would Ion say back to you about that?
Ion would say birds of a feather flock together.
Well, I'm thinking he'd say, well, what do you expect? Of course. You know, he's trying to be not impressed with it.
No, but it's
you should,
to me.
You should be having those experiences, I think Ion would imply.
Oh, I do have them all the time. That's what I was saying, like with Kathy's wine, with other things. So it's like pretty amazing. And I tell people, like I tell people all the time, once it happens, don't like shudder from it. Just invite it in. It just keeps on happening. And one of the three conversations I had with Ion, he said, or they said, I said, oh yeah, I'm having all these cool experiences. And they said, do you want more? And I said, of course. And he goes, well, you'll get a big boy or cowboy or whatever you said. And it just continues. So.
I see. That's neat. I like that part. He told you to get more, and you sense that you're getting more.
Yeah, and the other thing with my so I was blasted from work because, you know, a couple jobs.
I have a question before you go on. What happened to your old girlfriend?
Helen or Leah?
Just a minute, I gotta see who's phoning here. Oh, Kaiser. Kaiser's calling me. I keep ignoring their fucking demand for me to come in there. And they're trying to get me on a Saturday night. Well, I ain't home. But this is a girlfriend that you would listen to the news and get fucked all the time for a year or so or more.
Okay.
You would fuck with her during my music. Who's that?
That was
Helen?
All right. Helen loved it. Helen, you and Greg had a discussion one time about Salinger. And
yes,
when he was living in Connecticut, it was Saturday night.
Right.
And the three of you guys kept on saying the same phrase over at the exact same time. And, like, it freaked me out. It was like, what did he mean by that? And that was, like, so crazy. And then Helen and I repeated that. And Leah also, after Helen, there was Leah. Helen moved to Florida, and she still does the drops, and she's, like, having all sorts of really cool synchronicity stuff, like really crazy stuff. And and then Leah put RNA, Renew on her mole next to her ear, and within 3 months, this mole that was the size of a Big Ten cap, probably about an eighth of an inch, completely disintegrated. And she went to the dermatologist, and he goes, yeah, it's gone. And I had a picture of it that she brought with her, which is cool. She loved the music. She still listens to music. She tunes in every once in a while. A lot of times I'm at home, I'll just listen on the computer through my Bose speakers, so I don't have to have a headset on. So, but it's your stuff is amazing. I keep telling people.
Are you saying you have to have a headset on?
No, I'd rather listen to it through the computer through Bluetooth on a Bose speaker because it just sounds so much better than a headset.
Oh, I see. Right. And you're saying my stuff's amazing. You're talking about what we're doing when Ion's not here?
Oh, everything. Everything. Just like your stream of consciousness, Carol's interjection, you know, Bert, Katie, Sarah. Let's see. Rose, Roxanne. You know, I listen to archives all the time. It's just amazing.
Who's Rose?
Isn't there Melanie Rose? Doesn't she call in?
Oh yeah, no, she didn't participate much. But
okay,
Melanie Rose works for Ginny.
Okay. Okay, let's see. Yeah, there's someone, Jean. Jean's really good.
Jean, she's on the line right now, I think.
Yeah, she's a scientist, right? She's, like, amazingly smart. It's
no,
incredible.
That's not Jean. Jean's amazingingly dumb. She's
no,
no,
Jean
no,
is a scientist.
Not me, I'm stupid.
Jean is a scientist.
Jean.
I'm the invisible.
The invisible.
All right, Bob.
In the invisible
I'm signing
ground.
Out. And well, wait, don't wait a minute. Michael, what? Who is the one who sounds? Is it Gene that sounds scientific to you?
You know, I
think it's Susanna.
Susanna. All
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Susanna's a smart one.
Yeah.
Or at least.
Oh.
The last year or so, she got smart.
Yeah. And
she does.
Greenbrow or whatever.
Yeah. Who?
Greenbrow or whatever.
Oh yeah, Sandra.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Greenbrow. Yeah, Greenbrow. She does the conspiracy questions of Ion.
Yeah. The one when I met Jenny, I told her I really missed Wendy.
Yeah, you know, like how
right.
She disappeared. Yeah, you know, like
you and, liked her voice?
I liked her whole everything, her gestalt. She was just like
right.
So upbeat, and especially the episodes where people said they had seen her in a place before she had gotten there.
Right.
Another version of her had preceded her in like a doctor's office or in an office building. That was pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. Whenever she called in, she usually had an anomaly to report.
Yeah, an ionic moment, as we discussed.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so I get your. Did you just say you're going to hang up now? Was that you?
Well, no, I was going to pass the baton.
Right, no, it's very good recording, very good testimonials here. Maybe take a question or two from somebody or a statement.
All right.
Well, statements, Mike, have you been listening that long since Wendy was here?
Oh,
yeah, Michael's been here
listening.
For years.
Started listening in, I'd say, June of 13. Yeah.
Oh, fabulous.
Okay.
And I was completely bewildered. And then I started, and then what I would do is I would, when I go to work on a Monday, because, you know, I was always dating on Saturday night, so it was just always like, you know, we'd listen to music, and then that would set the stage. And then, of course, you know, we'd be spent, within a two-hour period, we'd crash. And then when I get to work on Monday, I would download 14, 15 episodes, hours, and then I would just play them back during the week. And then, you know, I would do that every week. And I would listen to, oh, here's the most incredible one, all right? When I was dating Helen, we kind of, like, separated and on January 31st and on... of 2015. And on February 7th, I come home from work, and I was out on February 6th, and I come home from work, and I'm, like, a little hungover from the night before, and I'm like, all right, I need something, and I go to the refrigerator, and I take an ice cream bar, a coconut ice cream bar, almond ice cream bar, and I eat it. And Ion, I'm listening to Ion 24/7, whatever, everything Ion or whatever that was. And Ion says, "Yeah, have a frozen Snicker." All right, so that's ice cream, and he was talking about Bob. All right, and then like that didn't help. And about 10, 15 minutes later, I go into the bathroom, and I had a little bit of a joint left. So I take two hits, and I walk out of the bathroom, and I am walking in front of my speaker, and I exhaust the last vapor out of my lungs, and Ion says, "Yeah, time to roll big fatty." That was, so the ice cream and the fatty was from a tape on like May 5th of 2010. And that was like, you know, like 5 years later. But the activities that I were doing were preceded either by their interpretation of what was happening in my span of timeline, or I was acting in, how would you say,
instinctual to what Ian was going to say.
Right.
That was pretty cool. And since then.
Yeah,
like,
you knew what Ian was going to say, and you synced up with it. You had your ice cream bar and then the joint.
So on October 12th of 17, I drop off three paintings that I made for, I do doodling using Artflow, digital doodling. And I made three paintings for the Oasis Project in Middletown, New Jersey, which is an autism farm, to teach young adults who have autism to have skills. So they do soap, they do, you know, like milk, cream, and they do vegetable gardening. So I drop off three paintings to Sari, whose son's part of that, and she does the fundraiser. And I never asked, like, what they bring in, but I know there have been bidding wars on a few of my pieces. And so that's on the 12th. That's a Wednesday. And Sari goes, hey, if you're going to Best of Mom magazine celebration tomorrow, bring cards. So I go home, I make up cards at Staple, I bring cards, and I give them to Sari. Probably about 2 minutes after I give her the cards, I look down on the floor, and I see this metal object. And I pick it up, and I see people from the yoga studio, Kat and Deborah, and I go, holy shit, look what I found. And I go, I got to find Jody, who's running it. So I find Jody, and I said, Jody, I just found this piece of jewelry on the floor. We got to find out who lost it. So she goes to the DJ, and she says, did anyone lose jewelry? Did anyone lose anything? For about 2 hours, and no one comes forward. And I'm like, all right. So she goes, I'd like to keep it. And I go, no, Jody. You know, I'll give it to my daughter, to my girlfriend, and I have to invoke finders, keepers, losers, weepers. So I take the jewelry, and as I'm walking to my car, I take a picture and send it to Leah, who loves your music, Bob. And she goes, oh, yeah, it's David Ehrman. So I find out that it was a $6,000 piece of David Ehrman cable bracelet that I found. Like, just sitting up on next to a white cardboard trash canister in this, like, hoity-toity Best of Mama's Health magazine that had probably about 3,000 or 4,000 people all dressed. And I left my card with DJ, I left my card with Jody in the hotel, and no one had ever contacted me. Mm-hmm. So that was like a $6,000.
So Leah has it.
No, I have it, and I'm probably going to give it to my daughter when she's cool.
Right.
Another time, I was taking the ferry when I was dating Leah. I was taking
what's
the ferry.
What's this word, ferry? What's that about?
A ferry?
A ferry. F-E-R-R-Y?
Yeah, from New Jersey, under the Verrazano Bridge, from, like, the Jersey Shore in Sandy Hook to this is more insane, to South Street Seaport, and I'd walk to the, what is it, World Trade, whatever the Twin Towers were that got blasted, World Trade Center, I think, or they changed the name, but I think it's called the World Trade Center, and on Bessie Street and Broadway. So the first time I was taking the ferry and I was running late, I'm running to the ferry, and I really wasn't accustomed to, like, dashing to a ferry, and this is the first time. All of a sudden, this person runs next to me and passes me, like, with probably about 100 yards to go to the ferry and gets on the ferry. But as they were running, I didn't hear any breath, like, anything. They just ran past. They had a hood on. And then they kept the door open for them and the gangplank up for them. And then they saw me and they allowed me to get on. This person, they asked him for a ticket. The person turns around and walks off. That was so strange. I think it was a like an angel or something like that that just wanted me to be on time that day.
Yeah, you're saying that I ran past you to hold up the ferry so that they get there, and then they'll hold it for you.
Yeah, so I get on. The guy's name is Juan, who takes the tickets. Real nice guy. And he asked the hooded angel, right, for a ticket. And the guy turns around and goes, and he starts to walk off. And Juan says, "Don't worry, you don't need a ticket. We'll give you a free ride." And the guy walked off.
And you're saying he ran real fast past you, not breathing.
He ran silently past me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And usually, like...
Well, he was going fast. You're saying he was going fast so he could get to the ferry to hold them up for you.
Yeah. Yeah. to be entity that would delay the vertical.
But why weren't you running? Did you not know you were behind?
I was running, but I was like, I was so out of breath. It was like one of the first times that I ran to the ferry, and it was like running like three football fields. It was like, so. Yeah, Bobby, can you
imagine?
Well,
that's not a good testimony for the drops. You should have been able to run it easily being on the drops.
Oh, that was the first time I ran. Like, it was the first time I was ever late, so that was like the first time I ran in years.
Life.
I was still doing.
No,
not in my life. I used to wrestle and play football, so I could still run.
Okay,
but you know, I had my backpack on with my computer and a lot of gear. Imagine if you had to run like 300-400 yards with your backpack.
Okay, that's pretty good. So I hope that this is clearer than I'm hearing it, because Ed should play, make it a separate item. Your whole call, your whole testimonial is pretty great. You know,
I do have other testimonials from friends, like crazy stuff. Like one time, Helen and I met in Red Bank at Patricia's restaurant, and you know, she had moved to Florida, and we had broken up, and she was still on the drops, and she still was on the drops now, infrequently, though. And we got together. It's like right before Christmas. She's up to visit her family from Florida. We get together. She gets into her dad's car, and her phone doesn't connect immediately to Bluetooth. So she turns on her car. It just says a colleague from Village Farm in, I think, Ontario is flying into Philadelphia for holidays. And she says to the guy's name is Derek. She says to Derek, Derek goes, "Hey, Helen, I just got into Philadelphia." And she says, "Don't drink the water." As she's turning on the car, the DJ says, "Don't drink the water." Like, instantaneously. There have been so many times, and you would say something, or Ian would say something, as I was typing, and you would say the word, or right immediately after. So it's like, it's almost a non-interrupted ionic experience. And thank you so much. It's so cool. And I'm sure, I couldn't imagine, like, what are you doing, 300 drops a day or something like that?
I'm doing 600 a day now.
600. So what's that, a half of a rebob?
I don't know. We have a big bottle. We get big bottles sent to us, huge bottles.
Oh, man.
And we don't pay for it. We just get the stuff that we ordered. You know, we request, and it's all sent to us for free. Huge bottle.
Yeah. Well, my friend Teresa. All right, my friend Teresa, who I met on the ferry. This is crazy. She was like a Brooklyn girl, really tough. She went on drops. Within a month's time, her real estate business started to take off, to the extent where she was so busy working in New Jersey that she had to stop working in New York. And then at some point, she started to interact with people who were referring her to clients that were selling like $3, $5, $6 million houses. And it's all because of the drops. It's like so crazy.
Wow.
So she got one of those, it's like a nebulizer. It's one of those, aromatic scent devices. And she started to put drops in that. So when she has an open house, she'll take that in and put drops in there. And she says it changes the people's whole perspective.
That's true. That's good. A lot of amazing testimonials here. You've got to write these short inventory of all these people with the one-liner statement of their change. This is a very good inventory. I mean, nobody has as many success stories as you're reporting.
Oh, it's incredible. My brother was being charged with atomic crimes at the end of his divorce, and he.
What's atomic mean?
Atomic means that, or nuclear. At the end of a divorce, a wife who is so pissed will say anything like sexual abuse, child abuse.
Oh, exaggerated. Atomic mean huge things.
Yeah, it's like atomic at whatever. There was a term for it in California, so he was charged with that. And for a year, it really screwed him up. And one Christmas, I was talking to him Christmas Eve. And I thought he was going to do himself in. And then I immediately got him drops. And by February, he goes, so his drops came in probably mid-January. By the time I decided, all right, I'm getting you drops and Remag and whatever. I got him, like, everything that was Realign and Remite. And he says, it may be coincidental, but once I started taking the drops, the whole flooring of those allegations dropped away and everything turned in his favor. And then he's been going to India for business, and we have like all these business deals going with software that I've been writing. And he would go to India, and he'd always get jacked up from the flight back. And then he started taking drops, and he's unimpacted either way, like Sky got a Sue. So,
yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. And then,
what do you think of that, Paul? What do you think of that, Paul? I'm quoting Letterman. I want some of that.
Oh boy, gee whiz! What do you know?
He goes, yeah, I like their music. Paul says, yeah, I like their music. I like this band.
This is great, man. Fantastic.
You like Michael's testimony? You blabbermouth. You like him?
Fantastic.
No, Sarah, do you have similar references that
Sarah didn't have nothing. Notice anything.
Nope. Wait, what? I'm thinking about myself and looking at myself in the mirror. What did you say, Bob? Did you say something?
That's right. Yeah, Sarah's too busy talking to herself to notice anything around her.
Well, Bert, are you still getting massive those robot things and the GM robot things in Megatron?
Actually, no, I'm at a holding pattern now. I'm actually about maybe 4 pounds less than I was last year this time. Actually, I'm at a hold pattern right now. Thank goodness. It's hard to buy clothes. It's not,
You wouldn't believe. I told so many people your story about people who are into weightlifting, and when you said that you were capable of pounding more with less fatigue and quicker rebound, they're like, holy shit, they got on it.
Hey, question for you, Michael. Are you introducing these people you're turning on to the drops? Are you actually turning them on to Ion and Bob, to listen to
I tell them about drops, and I tell them about Achieve Radio. And then at some point, Teresa and Helen and Leah and Gloria, and Ed and Cloud, they, you know, and Abe, they all got into IONDAMs to some degree, but, you know, I don't know.
There's Radio Free Ion. You can turn them on to Radio Free Ion.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah. But I just let them do the drops, and then they're like, all right, how can I learn more? So, you know, because it, for me, it was like, it took a while to change the channel from like ignorance to IONDAM.
I remember on the drops. Michael, you're saying after you're on the drops, took a while to get into the entertainment we provide.
Yeah, I started on drops in like March, and then I got into I think it was Payday back in
2014.
May or June. Yeah.
Yeah, 2014. Ion was back. That would be 2013.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I saw it in 12. 12 was the hurricane. Yeah, 13. Burke, how is your dad doing? You never followed up on him.
Actually, my father passed away in December.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
Did we know that, Bert? I don't think you told us
no.
that.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
Yes.
This is the father you were trying to get on the drops and stuff a couple of years ago, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
And you gave up on him.
You're a pig.
Just a minute, Michael.
No, I'm not pissed at all.
No, you were. I'm probably about 5 years ago, maybe.
It was actually three.
Shut up! Let Bert respond.
It was actually three, but I mean, it was not. It was like my last pissed off. I mean, I've always was the weird one taking vitamins and stuff thing, and I reached out to him the last time to do the completements, and he took them. But then when he was started feeling better, he went back into he could get something cheaper at Walmart and things, and that's when I just said okay.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, Bert. I do remember you said that you gave it to him on Father's Day, all right, and then he started to email you like it was 10 years earlier before he was plagued with Alzheimer's. And then
fix your mic there, Michael. Your microphone's ridiculous.
I'm sorry. Michael, you got a little more in it. You're putting more into it than what it was, but it wasn't Father's Day. It wasn't 10 years ago, but go ahead.
You said when he went on drops, he communicated to you as if it was 10 years earlier because he was clear and he was like a different person.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so Bert, did you... I think you told us you gave up on him. We heard that. And that's a couple of years ago, right?
Yes.
And then
correct,
he deteriorated, and then he died. And that was that.
Yes. Yes.
How old was he?
82.
Well, that's pretty good.
Wow.
In the old days, that would have been good.
Yeah.
So Michael was saying, I don't know, what was Michael saying about you, Bert? You're leveled out. Now, you may not be getting this exaggerated increase because that wouldn't be good if it kept happening. That's ridiculous. So it sounds like you've balanced out, Bert.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I did is I've been following, I mean, Ion, like I said, when Ion engaged me for that whole time from the restructure or before engaging restructure, and actually before they left in February last year, I'm doing what they told me to do, and all I'm doing is stretching. I don't do a lot of muscle work. I'm actually trying to open my hips up. I'm opening my hips up, so because there's a lot of muscle. I have a lot of muscle, and now my flexibility I'm working on now, which is helping a lot, actually. So I'm following IM instructions.
How about Bert, have you experienced any increase in your virility as a man from being on the drops and everything? Like superpowers?
Well, I mean, that's always been there, but it's just magnified. But you just learn how to control it. The thing with me with the restructure is, it's just if you were listening earlier, I find that the restructure has made me smarter. I mean, because I'm actually able to interpret things that Bob has said over the years, and I go back and look at my notes, and I understand it more. And actually, intellectually, I'm stronger. Physically, I've always been physically strong, but I find that the intellectual, mental part of me is different than it was before.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised.
I've always been a physical, very physical.
I was surprised that you expressed, I don't know, kind of shock that somebody would use athletics in a spiritual way. Is that what we were talking about, Bob? Or walk-ins, like meditation?
When were we talking about that, Sarah?
Because your walk-in gets the most use out of you when you're doing athletics. And Bert, you said that you'd never heard of someone using athletics spiritually. Is that correct?
Oh, that sounds correct. You're talking about a couple of weeks
ESP.
Ago.
ESP. ESP.
Oh, when I talk about
okay.
my ESP in sport.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. ESP. Okay, yeah, but you really don't, like, you really, when I would set up a shot for soccer, I would always map it out in my head and see it and then play it out. And then see what my hips should do, what my legs should do, and then do it.
Wow.
Just with, but I would see it like snapshots. I can't imagine doing it another way.
Well, I'm an incredible lover. I use ESP when I fuck.
Wow. That's a better use of it. Maybe.
I mean, Carol,
yeah.
Carol comes within 30 seconds. We can't even get going. It's all of a sudden she explodes because my ESP is so powerful.
Wow, yeah, that's really powerful.
On top, not only are you brilliant, you're a stud.
That's right, that's right.
Hats off. I can't
hold
myself
back
before?
From humanity. Carolyn gave a little talk here. Carolyn gave a little talk to the... Now she's becoming known in the neighborhood here, which is going to get dangerous. But she gave a little talk, and one of the men showed up. He was in the military, Carol, ex-military?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's highly suspect. But the ex-military guy showed up. He says, where's Bob? And Carol says, oh, he never comes to any of the States. He says, oh, damn, I came here to meet Bob. So they're looking out for me, Bert. They're trying to catch me. and what did he say, Carol? Like somebody said, "Do you ever see? Do you know Bob?" And he said, "Yeah, I see him around." What did he say? He never says anything. Yeah, something like, "Yeah, I see Bob around, but he doesn't talk to anybody. He doesn't ignore. He doesn't acknowledge anybody." What?
Bob, happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you, thank you. What is it? February 10th? Yeah, you're 8 days late, buddy. Last Friday.
Is it? When's Carol's birthday? It's gotta be really soon.
Card from you. Some greeting card fucking bullshit I had people send me. I expect that next year from you, my friend.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll send something.
On the first, on the day before.
He will remember.
Yeah, but doesn't your birthday coincide with the release of Finnegan's Wake?
Yes. James Joyce, his birthday was February 2nd. So in 1922, when he was 40, they released Ulysses on his birthday, February 2nd, 1922.
Oh, Ulysses, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Finnegan's Wake in 39, they couldn't get it released on February 2nd, but they gave him an advance copy on his birthday, Finnegan's Wake, 17 years later, in 1939, and then it was published around May. But he personally experienced it on both his birthdays, his two books, major books.
I routinely tell people if there are three people in this world that I wish I could spend an entire day with. And number one, well, not in any order. I guess, I guess in alphabetical order would be Michael Brown, if I can spend an entire day with him, all right? Or Doc Emmerich, the hockey announcer. Do you know who he is?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know who
Mike.
That broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah, guy's amazing. And you would be the third person, like, just to see, like,
well, you want more than a day. You want
just one day.
Wait.
Just one day. Ah, one day.
Nah.
Yeah, like,
that's going to happen.
Because more than one day, more than one day would be overkill. I can tell you.
Yeah, you wouldn't survive it. I'd have to take you to the hospital. You know.
No, I can handle a day, no problem, man. I can handle a day and then, like, even journal it and video it and then play it back backwards and probably get more benefits from it. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm disappointed that you and Heather, I always thought of you guys screwing while we were playing the music. So that's not happening. Why did you break up?
That was Leah.
Not Helen. Well, what?
Helen, we started the music and that kind of stuff. Helen had to move to Florida for work, but I couldn't move because my daughter was in college, and I told my daughter I wouldn't
move.
No,
you're too blurry. I'm missing all that. You got to do it over again.
Helen,
what did you say?
Helen had to relocate to Florida for her work, and I told my daughter was in college, a sophomore, and I told her I would never leave her in college because, you know, I was a big part of her life. So we ended up ending, but we're good friends and like.
You mean
stuff.
You could have gone to Florida if you didn't have a daughter with Helen?
Well, if my daughter didn't need me in college and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, you would have gone to Florida with her.
Probably.
But you never had sex to my music. You and Helen didn't have sex.
Oh, all the time. Shit.
Okay, so why do you say Leah? Why did you say Leah?
Well, then after Helen, I started dating Leah, and every night at 8 o'clock, I would bring our Samsung remote up into a room, her Bluetooth, and then we would, like, just play around for those 2 hours, and by that time, you know, we would do like a glass or two of wine, and then we would do an edible. And by the time your music was over and you guys would start talking at 10-ish, we were completely depleted. So
right, but what
an edible race to a THC.
You did that with Helen too.
Oh yeah, and Gloria.
Okay, good, because you started off saying that was Leah. No, it was Helen and Leah. You did it with both.
Yeah, but Leah made the point to stress how much she loved your music. She would tell me to call you and she really loved it, especially when you were going like old school Brooklyn tunes. So
right, the doo-wop.
Yeah, she loved that. And
how old is she? That's before her time,
birthday.
Right?
Today is her birthday, and I think she's 53.
Right, but the doo-wop is before her time?
Yeah, but her father owned a pizza place. She was born in 65. So her father owned a pizza place, so they played all that crap in Brooklyn.
Oh, that's great. So she grew up with it.
Yeah! She would love it.
I have nobody. Nobody has singled out the Brooklyn great stuff as something they like. You know, I don't know if anybody likes it. I think people like it in general, but she's the first to really focus on it, so that's great.
Yeah, she would say, and I love your music, and you know, everyone when I play it, it's really good. So
yeah. So that was Leah and Helen. She didn't focus on anything relating to our show or my music.
Oh, yeah. No, we called in several times and spoke to you guys. So
right. I remember that. Yep.
Yeah.
Is it sad that you're not with her anymore?
No, not at all.
You're not with Lee anymore either, are you?
No, not at all. I'm with Gloria now, but... But
how come you do this serial murder, you know, serial lover thing?
Well, what usually happens, like, so Helen moves away, so that's, like, her choice. Then I went to Chicago with Leah, and we came back, and she was giving me crap about something, and I didn't take her call. And then she said for that reason she was ending it. So on a Monday she told me, or on Sunday, Monday, she told me she was ending it, and then I went to the yoga studio for musical bowls, and I started hanging out with Gloria. So we've been together ever since. And Gloria's
right,
in New
Jersey, and Leah was not at the yoga place where Gloria is.
Correct. But
yeah.
But
so
Leah
broke it off.
Yeah.
I see.
And like 2 days later, I started dating Gloria. So.
And how old are you?
63.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, you're getting on there. So is Gloria around your age?
She just turned 59. But she's a head turner. She's amazing how good she looks at this age.
Right.
As did Leah and Helen.
Helen.
But yeah, they're but the interesting thing is, so I've been focusing on like feeling good and being happy, and that goes a long way in interactions with everyone. It doesn't matter if I'm at work, if I'm on the street. You know, I just start talking to people and, so we start talking and then I immediately start, finding out what's going on. I tell them about the drops and it's like the commonality. People want to feel better and be happy. And then if they have
That's awesome. That's really good. People who are disappointed in talking about drops, some of the I-nots, they should get over that and talk to people about it anyways.
A lot of times I will just pop out my bottle and say, I'll take like a 4 or 5 drops into my mouth and I'll go, do you want to try some? And more often than not, when a person tries them, they're like, wow, they get that jolt. And they know that it's alive, and that's pretty cool. And one of the things I proposed to Jenny a couple of years ago, I was like, all right, there should be I hate to put you on the spot, but, a referral program. So if I buy a sample, $15 bottle of drops and I give it to, say, Kathy Gill, and she, orders a 99 or Reebok or whatever, orders products.
Sounds like a pyramid scheme.
No, but I'm serious. And then if you just send me another bottle, I can give to someone else.
Right. And then, what do you say about that, Carol? And what do you call the program? You said some noun.
It's not a pyramid. It's just a referral.
Program. What do you say to that, Carol? You're not on. What do you mean? Well, they can't hear you. Let me come over and put the mute off. What do you mean? You want to talk without the mute? No, I'll grab it. Okay, so mute is off, and you can talk.
Yeah, we had something like that called referral candy. I don't know if it's still going. But
that's only for a coupon, a 5% coupon to the person.
I don't know anything about
11%.
That stuff, Michael. That's what Jenny works
on. I think I may see Jenny on Tuesday, but it would be so cool because there are so many people who I would say,
you're awesome. You should be working for us. So, we like to do that sort of thing. We're always giving away freebies. So Michael
should get the referral program.
Jenny's in charge.
Oh, okay. Ask Jenny about it.
All right, I'll see Jenny soon. So, but what I'd like to do is I'd like to say, all right, I met a couple people today, and I started telling them about drops. And if I had a bottle, I was just like, oh, yeah, check this out. And everyone, like Tracy and Lisa, everyone, once they took it, they just became customers immediately.
They liked
it so much.
Yeah, like you're the type of guy that we should send the sample bottles to, just send you a dozen sample bottles here.
I refuse.
The rest of you are not here. Aren't you guys embarrassed, the rest of you? You don't even talk to anybody about yourself.
There's like dude came to my door and he was like, I got shot in the hand. Serious, I'm not kidding. This is a true story, but don't make it a big deal. And there was an entrance exit wound between his first and left finger, and I just like packed residue of drops that I've had for years.
What's he saying?
Around
Alan?
On it. And in 3 days it was healed.
Speak English, you fucking verbs.
Someone came to the door and they had a wound and Sarah gave them something.
You gave them
something. Yeah, I put the residue, packed it around on it.
I'm
just saying it was just the air, exactly. The old bottle flakes.
Well, what
Hillary healed.
I'll mute there. What translation? No, that's
I
wrong.
I told you. She put someone on the RNA drops residue for a gunshot wound in his hand, and we don't know what happened. Yeah.
We don't know what happened, Sarah.
Well,
it completely healed.
And it completely healed.
A residue is something
within days.
Yeah.
So you rub something on.
Yeah, I just covered the wound, the injury, with the flakes from the bottle.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Now, Brian Taylor, you have your hand up. Do you want to speak?
Ahoy, ahoy.
Speak up.
Hello.
Hello.
How do you do?
He didn't know he had it up.
How's it going?
What?
How's it going?
You got to talk louder, Brian. It may be my phone, but other people come through clear. So what are you saying?
What am I saying? Geez, that's a lot of great testimonials going on.
They're right, that is. It's got to be written up. Fantastic. I mean, I'm going to take this whole hour, however long Michael's been talking, and have Ed highlight it. Make it an item on the site.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely try to get my whole listing of ionic moments together.
Yeah, and all their little stories in a short sentence. That's pretty incredible. Definitely there's Bert, when you say nobody's doing what Michael's doing, right, in successful communication.
Yeah. Seems he has the right vibe.
Yeah,
hear something crazy?
Introduce people to the.
Ginny told me that. Hey, Michael, Ginny told me a couple months ago that I should talk to you. I had talked to you before, but I should get an update because she was very impressed with the stories you had told her when you met a few months ago, which you're now relaying to us.
In December, yeah. You want to hear something interesting? On December 8th, I'm driving up 77.
How come you can remember
Charlotte?
The dates? You're like me. How come you remember dates?
because this truck kind of sideswiped me. You know, nothing
major.
Hey,
how come you remember dates?
There was an incident, Bob.
Because of you. You always say this, and then I just, sorry.
This is the effect of the drops. You got Bob's brain. Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, Bob, I do refer to you as the most brilliant person that Carol can deal with.
Carolyn.
What's that mean?
Yeah, Carolyn.
She deals with a lot of people, but I'm the most brilliant person she deals with. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's true.
Yeah. So
okay, December 8th, 2017. What happened?
No, 18. All right. I'm driving.
No, it hasn't happened yet.
17. It hasn't happened yet.
No, I said.
Well,
I said January 8th, not December 8th. January.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
18. All right. I'm driving up the road, and it's this the lug nuts of a front end of a truck grind against back of my car, right? You know, fender bender. 3 hours later, I'm out of there, close to the cops. I can drive my car, you know, $2,000 damage, no big deal. The next day, my ex, it's so weird, her car gets totaled the exact next day. And so we have the same insurance company, of course, different policies. And then my son calls me, and he goes, did you hear that? He knew I was in a little slight fender bender. And he goes, yeah, did you hear mom's car got totaled? I go, yeah, your sister Kelly told me that. And he goes, what do you think about that? I go, holy shit, I never knew she was a copycat. Is that weird?
You're not getting a raucous laugh out of me, but
I know, but still. But it was so weird. I had a little fender scraper, and she had her car totaled. What was up with that?
Well, she's not into ion or anything, right?
Oh, no. Nah. That's the worst thing in the world to her.
Yeah, so, okay. So she's probably still resonated. You know, you never fall out of love, really, with anybody you're in love with. So she resonates with you, but she's on the negative side. She gets it worse.
Okay, good point. I never thought about that that way.
Yeah, she's part of your life, and things happen to you. You might find out other things happened to her at the same time things happened to you if you were more in touch with her.
Interesting. Thank you. That's a good analogy.
Yeah, great. Another brilliant pattern by Bob.
Yes.
Okay,
and
Brian.
Carolyn.
What? Brian, just a minute, Michael. Let's get Brian in
okay,
here.
Thank you.
Yes,
excuse me. Thank you.
Okay, Brian, speak with a clear mic.
I loved the, of all the testimonials, you know, the RNA drop stuff is cool, but I really liked the way that the, had the coincidence around the phrase, don't drink the water, because it evokes don't drink the Kool-Aid, but the water is not the specialized thing. That's the default thing you get everywhere, so it's kind of like a way of saying, turn it off or ignore the environment. You know, don't drink the environment. I like that one. But, yeah,
well, that's
I mean,
the story Michael told?
Yeah.
Yeah, who was that? What was that story?
That was Helen after we had lunch back in 2016, right before Christmas. And she got in the car, and a colleague called from Ontario, Canada, who arrived in Philadelphia, and he says, I just
right.
went into Philadelphia. And she says,
don't drink the water.
As she turns on the car, and the DJ said, don't drink the water.
Oh, that's the part you like, Brian, that the radio mimed it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
the
personal thing mirrored immediately by the media is, you know, that's a classic.
Yeah. Which used to happen on 5body.com. So that's the synchronicity, not synchrony, but that's synchronicity people get around Dobstown.
Mm-hmm. Because you subconsciously know that it's the shit, but you've only kind of just gotten into it, so you know, it's beyond you. You don't know what the hell you're talking about yet, but you do know for sure that it's the shit. So you have this experience of it, that this very iceberg-like experience. You get this tip of the iceberg effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, here's another one. I'd say like August 20th of 15, we're in Center City.
No, I think it was the 21st. I think it was Stag's birthday, August 21st.
All right, we're in Center City. We pick up my son he's dropping off a car at Philadelphia Airport. We take him to this Mexican restaurant to have some food. We drop him off so he can see his mother and her grandfather. We just leave him in some street and we drive out. And we're right by the Navy shipyards in Philadelphia. And we're at a light, and the light turns green, and I say, and Leah's in the car next to me, and I say, come on, people. And the DJ on the radio says, come on, people. And this is when Leah and I first started dating.
Yeah,
and
nice.
This is so crazy. I had to find, like, these documents, and I was looking through shit about the sale of my... This is well into being on drops. I had to find like a car title that I was giving to my son or something. And as I was looking for the title, it was that same weekend, but I couldn't find the title. I forgot to bring it with me. So I come home the next day. I'm looking for the title, and I see the closing documents on the house that I had sold post divorce, and I'm looking through. And I see the person's name, Giovanni DiMicelli, and that's Leah's name. And I was dating her for about a year, and I didn't know that the exact same last name and spelling matched Leah to the person who bought my house. Out of the billions and billions of names,
that was pretty cool.
Boom.
Yeah, it's a rare name, too.
Yeah, rare spelling. Yeah, usually it's MIC.
Was he related?
No, they weren't related.
Not at all. Not that
thing. That's cool.
Not.
Hey, Michael, I think you told me that story a few years ago. That sounds familiar. You told me that one.
Yeah.
I got to go. Did you say that the don't drink the water one, that the first thing, that there was something to do with Ontario, did you say?
Yeah,
the caller. The guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I am, you know.
Okay. So, Brian, you
it
know
goes on.
Village,